This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap.
Hello, hello. This is the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap, episode 164. This is Rajesh Sen.
And this is Abhinandan Sekri, welcoming you from another afternoon of recording. But before we tell you what all we have in store, I want to thank all those who actually responded to our call to help, as you know, because of the pandemic, COVID, it has led to a huge amount of distress, economic distress all around, especially the news industry. Although the ads haven't been impacted for us because we don't run on ads, we run on you. But generally, because of, I guess, the depressed nature of the economy, we lost a bunch of subscribers in the month of April. And an email went out that we guys are a little strapped and our numbers have dipped. And the number of you who actually sent us more money or ramped up your subscription was amazing. I'd like to thank you, all of you who did. It's because of people like you that news media can remain independent and alive. And for those of you who haven't, do consider subscribing. Go to newslaundry.com and subscribe on the top right-hand corner and watch news blossom and bloom with your blessings. Yes, Rajesh Sen, what all have we watched? What homework have you not done this time? Let's hear.
What homework have you not done? I know what all I watch. So, there we have a short film.
Yes.
We have two PSAs. So, what are PSAs, Abhinandan Sekri?
Public service announcements.
Too much. So, we have a short film by Nandita Das. And we have a sort of effective PSA. And then we have a PSA which... I don't know what that was, which is a digital ad campaign which was put up and then...
It's not a PSA, it's an ad. I mean, not everything is a public... There was no public service related to that ad. And we have two online series, both on Netflix. This time, Amazon and Hotstar and all must be feeling left out. But after we OD'd on Amazon Prime, I think... Two Netflix is fine.
That's true. So what do you want to start with?
So there's Filthy Rich, there's Space Force, there is Nandita Das's short film. But let's start with Kent. Kent aro kyunki safed pani bache mein pure pani se peeke main itna fresh aur daisy ho jati hoon, hai na?
If it was America, they'd have safed pani then.
Safed pani.
So one evening I saw this actually, that Kent had put up this ad, this campaign, which was done on Instagram, which is for Kent Atta Maker and Bread Maker. And because everyone is so concerned with good reason about their health and cleanliness and that you shouldn't contract COVID and hygiene. So people are, of course, missing the point that COVID is not bacteria, it's a virus, but whatever, that doesn't matter. So the Kent guys came up with this ad where someone's very nice, fair, manicured hands are kneading atta. And it says, are you allowing your maid to knead atta dough by hand?
And then the next picture says her hands may be infected.
And then the next picture has Hema Malini and the younger daughter, which is Ahana Diol, I think. And they are the brand ambassadors, as in all three Diol. Even Isha Diol is a brand ambassador for Kent. And it says, now don't compromise on health and purity. So you get the atta maker so that your maid's dirty hands don't give you COVID.
This, of course, clearly led to outrage, justifiably so. This is not the first time Hema Malini has displayed her disgusting elitism. I really think she is akal se pedal, but I will come to that later. So what happened after the outrage, Rajshri?
So first of all, everyone was wondering who is this bright agency, which has also proposed this idea, right? It's not just there for it, because I know that unless the client is going to sign off on it, it's not like the agency can just run with an ad, right? So this is Imarti Media, so that everyone knows, IMARTI Media, who had won the big digital business of Kent RO Systems.
It's not Imarti, Imarti. You know what is Imarti?
Wealthy.
Club A, Imarti, Idhar A, Meethi Jalebi. These are all mithais.
Oh,
but
yeah.
In many parts of India, they're also nicknames.
Imarti.
Imarti is the more complicated looking jalebi.
We call it something else, I think. In Bengal, we call it something else.
everything is called something else in Bengal, but no one asked. But anyway, yes.
No. So Sunday though, when you went back on Kent's Insta page, they had slightly deleted it at night. So after all the outrage, which was correct that people were saying that, what is wrong with you? What are you saying? And then the managing director of Kent released a letter that he wrote, which said, a press release, which said that we'd made it worse because it said our recent advertisement of Kent Atta and Bread Maker on social media was unintentional, badly communicated and was wrong. So I can't understand, was it unintentional or was it wrong? And then he said that we immediately withdrew it and we are extremely sorry and want to apologize to everyone, especially to the people whose sentiments were hurt. The advertisement is contrary to the beliefs and professional standards of Kent. And they will investigate how their ad standards were compromised and take corrective and preventive action. So first of all, I think Mr. Mahesh Gupta, who is the chairman and managing director of Kent Aro Systems, should also resign because he's running a very shoddy show. Because your marketing department has to sign off on this. Obviously, Imarti didn't publish the campaign by themselves, no? So someone on your team clearly believes this or thought it was a smart idea, whether they believe it or not, so that their judgment skills are also low. But what's her name? Hema Malini and the little Dior girl. I don't know. I don't think they are always sent. They are informed of what the new...
They clearly aren't. Even if many people would insist they see the creatives before it goes out a lot, but clearly Hemalini is not, because she doesn't even bother in parliament to distance herself from stuff that she's endorsing. Like, she had brought up the whole water purifier thing in parliament while she's brand ambassador for water purification. Yeah. We have, in fact, News On did a story on that. But she tweeted on this saying, views expressed by the recent advertisement of Kent Atta by Kent Aro System do not resonate with my values and are inappropriate. The chairman has already tendered a public apology for the mistake. I hereby wish to put on record that I respect and stand by all sections of society. Isha Deol tweeted, views expressed by the recent advertisement by Kent Tata do not resonate with my values. She copy-pasted basically.
Other Deol doesn't have a Twitter account only. The one who's in the ad. So that's okay. She didn't need to apologize therefore.
So speaking of such tone-deaf ads, Rajshri Sen, this tells us so much about the world that we inhabit. Becomes a cocoon and one doesn't even realize the kind of stupid shit one says. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know, but I'm waiting for you to elaborate on it.
So many of the ads that one sees, like some are on gender, some are classist. I mean, not every ad has the brilliance and benign sophistication of Ye to bada toying hai.
Like that. Correct.
Like, I remember Tavleen Singh once wrote an article, I guess Indian Express carried it without editing it, that this is during the Jan Lokpal movement, that what worldview does a truck driver of the Indian Army have? That he's lecturing us on policy and governance.
She actually wrote this.
Yeah, dude. In fact, the interview that I did with her, I asked her.
But at that point, she was spitting fire and brimstone, so she most probably didn't hear what you were saying. But what does she think that truck drivers of... should be doing? I don't understand.
I have no idea. But anyway, so clearly truck drivers would know more about corruption than her. But anyway, considering they have to pay every RTO across every state. But yeah, shocking. Yeah, but I'm glad Kent was given the ass whooping of its life.
So another ad, which was a film, which is Nandita Das's Listen to Her, which you watched as well, right, Abhinandan?
Yes, I've watched everything, Rajshri Sen. I have become a good boy. I've also become like the bong. Chintu sits in front. Sir, I've done homework, sir. Sir, that Punjabi boy at the back has not done. I have done, sir. I will get full Rasgulla mark, sure.
Vikrant Massey's pet name in that film. So don't take that.
Yeah, whatever. But like, it's a very bong thing to do your homework.
Speaking of, okay, just to... People are under the misconception that Nandita Das is Bengali. She is not Bengali. She is Oriya. Just to clarify that first, because I'm fed up of people saying she's a Bengali actress. So she's made this film, which was made, recorded by her on her iPhone.
That's pretty good.
मेरे बीमार थे बहुत तकलीफ है दीदी हर रोज का हो गया अभी तो
Yeah, it was recorded by her on her iPhone camera. She had her production team was on the laptop on a Zoom call. That's her own son who we see in the film. So it's very much made at home, the entire film. So the film is about the rise in... So the way it plays out is that you see this woman who is clearly working from home during the lockdown. Her son and her husband are at home also. And while she's on a Zoom call, her son is running around and she's, I must say, very indulgent of her child because he's just running amok and carrying on interrupting her during her call. And then she gets a call on her phone. And it's an incorrect number. And when she starts speaking to this person calls back again and sounds a little like agitated and in need of help. And it's this woman who's clearly being beaten up at home and it's a wrong number that she has dialed. So that is the essence of this film. And then what happened? So what did you think of this film, Abhinandan? Did you think it got through the message that you need to listen to people?
I don't know, Rajshri, because I'm always listening to you. You are usually talking. As many of you who use Zoom would know, that Zoom has required you to upgrade to 5.2. Otherwise, you keep clicking on the Zoom link and it doesn't open. So it just now happened with Rajshri. And our producer says, I said, Rajshri, we can't hear her. He said, maybe not such a bad thing.
I
just
don't
saying.
Think he said this at all. And I want you to stop saying this about him.
Okay.
Don't make up what you said.
But I will say a couple of things about this. One is, since she's done this during lockdown by herself, all the camera angles and stuff, I think she clearly understands the technical side of filmmaking, the shot breakdown and stuff, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, she's done this by herself.
Oh, her cook also helped her, she said.
But clearly the cook would not have decided the camera angles.
No, but I'm saying the fact that she's moving around, clearly someone, like, it's not a static camera, right? That way, I was.
There's no moving camera. Each of them is a tripod shot. I mean, a static shot. So it's a shot breakdown that's done like that. So, I mean, she's done it by herself. It's pretty good. I think it's kind of long. I mean, I get the message she's trying to put out there. It's a noble message. And I think, as many of you have read, that during the lockdown, instances of domestic abuses have gone up. So an important and timely film. I don't think it required 7 minutes to make this point because, you know, the first 3 minutes are just dragging. I definitely think effective communication is best when there's brevity.
Like when I communicate.
Exactly. The long pause, I was expecting you to go on, but I clearly didn't because I'm brevity.
No, so I had an issue with this. So first of all, the film is supported by UNESCO, United Nations Population Fund, UNICEF, UN Women and South Asia Foundation have come together to make this film. Now, I get what they are trying to say, that you must, at this time, especially when everyone is stuck at home, and some of us are lucky not to be stuck at home with people who are abusive towards them, that... If someone reaches out to you for help, please listen to them and help them if you can. I just felt her reaction, first of all, like it was also showing how difficult her own life is. Like she might not be getting physically abused, but she seemed to have a husband, unless he was physically handicapped. There's no reason why he shouldn't have got up and opened the door or spoken to the child and so on, right? And the way he was speaking to her, he's like this disembodied voice, and she's doing so much. She's doing her meeting, she's handling the child, she's opening
the door. He's telling her to make coffee and open the door. Basically, he's not moving from whatever he's doing.
From whatever he's doing. So I'm saying, unless maybe he had broken his leg or something, that's also possible. But the point is that, so that is shown that even if you're sort of privileged compared to the woman who was clearly calling her from a chawl and was getting beaten up by her husband at home, that lives are tough right now. But when someone is calling you up repeatedly, and she does call up the cops, right? Anita does calls up the cops to say that I've got this call. You can still call. They should have actually shown that she called some women. She's online, right? You can find out a women's helpline number. And instead of chatting with this woman on the phone, which would lead to her getting beaten up more, right? That you call up the women's helpline, give them the phone number that you're getting this call from and tell them to trace it and figure out where this woman is and find her while you're still on the phone.
Actually, ye to aap thoda literally le liya. Aapne matlab pura, the purpose of the film is not that. It's not a plot of a film.
No, because listen, Abhinandan, some fool will watch this film and say, oh, this is what I should do. I should keep chatting. No, you should not keep chatting. Get help.
Yeah. I think listen to her is not a call to action enough. So A, I thought it was very long. But the one thing that I've realized is that I've seen this in a lot of other... Rashi said, maybe our parenting was all wrong, done to us. And that's why we are also, I mean, you don't have any children around, but I do.
Yeah.
I mean, if my child would be doing that on a con call, I mean, or even my niece and nephew, I mean, they would know better because I would fucking bite their heads off, man. I'd snap so hard, they'd start crying.
No. So I'll tell you something though. I know your niece and nephew very well, and I know how you are with them very well also. And you can be strict, of course, but I do feel that our generation, our parents were not indulgent to the point of mollycoddling us. We were allowed to get away with a certain amount of things, but you knew what you could do and what you couldn't do. There was, and this negotiation, like I find this very odd nowadays, that my friends who are parents tell me that if their kids do something wrong, you can't, or ask for something, you can't just say no. You have to explain why you're saying no. So after a point, I'm like, no, you don't have to. Sometimes when it's a five-year-old, you can say no to the child because you know best, right? It's a child.
So my reasoning is usually, you know, he says, because his account is linked to my iShop. What's it called? Where you download apps?
Apple Store.
So Apple Store, and he'll call me and say, Mamu, can I download this? I say, no. He says, why? I say, because I'll come and kick your ass if you do. So that is usually enough.
Oh, it works.
That works.
Yeah.
I saw this guy, this news presenter on television, was trying to do his, from at home anchor, and his child kept coming and asking questions. And you have to see how indulgent he was. Yeah, buddy, I'm just coming. Should I just finish this and come? But you don't ask him, say, get out of the room while I finish my work.
No, and that's what I'm saying. You just have to be... So I see this with our generation of parents, that they are very, like, they'll never tell their child that, one second, I'm having a conversation and I'll talk to you. Like, so the kids are also like this child which is shown in the short film. I felt it's a very poor commentary on parenting, though. But as you said, I'm missing the woods for the trees.
Yes.
It was about domestic violence and listening. I do feel that they could have. So they have at the end of the film, if you stick around till the end of the 7 minutes, there is a frame with helpline numbers, which you can reach out to for help.
Yeah. So as a film, it is a thing like typically artists make a film for themselves and not for the message.
Yeah.
I think as far as the message is concerned, it fails if the purpose was messaging. But that was another episode of How to Do Parenting by two people who have no children.
No, but I have to say something. When people say this to me, I was also a child and I turned out to be a pretty decent adult.
No, stop spreading rumors. No. Don't spread rumors. This is a credible show. That may be struck off. Speaker sahab, ye statement minute se gaya hota hai.
A wallop or two didn't hurt anyone while they were growing up, but that's a different matter. Also, I have another thing. I have another suggestion on parenting. Please have two children, or not in India, don't have children right now at all. But if you are having children, always give your child a sibling, because two siblings tend to sort each other out so well that when they grow up, no other person can insult them enough. Because they've already been insulted and beaten up enough by their other sibling. So it toughens you up.
So from the more serious issues, let's move on to something a little more fun. Space Force. But before we do that, we have 4 emails today. And they are really short. So thank you, first of all, for keeping them short.
And complimentary in a way.
Well, I mean, I think they're non-committal.
They aren't insulting like last time. So maybe that's why I felt it's complimentary. Anything was better than last time's meals.
Yeah, I think your bar is very low on what is a compliment. But these are just general. And Kimaya And Rohan, thank you so much. You are subscribers. So I would like to thank you for paying to keep news free, for ensuring that you are chipping in for the money that you need to pay the rent, the bijli, the computers, the equipment, all our wonderful staff. And for Alia and Rohit, thank you for your suggestions. Though it would be nice if you guys are also subscribers. I have been intimated by our subscription team that you are not subscribers. So I'm glad you enjoy this podcast. If you're students, then it's fine. Oh, hey, have the most fun as much as we can for free. But if you're not students and you have jobs, can I please request you to subscribe and pay to keep news free, since we do our best to get you great news and average content. But maybe you can chip in and we'll become better. So Rohan says,
yeah.
Rajshri and Abhinandan, have you already reviewed the movies Love Sonia and Sir with Tilotama Shom? If not, please watch these gems and let me know how you like them. Rohan, Rajshri, have you watched either Love Sonia or Sir?
I have a response to this. Love Sonia was on either Netflix or Hotstar. I can't find it anymore. And Sir is not on any online streaming site. Sir, is that really? I sent you the trailer. Abhinandan, which I think so at least. Tilotama Shom plays a maidservant who falls in love with, no, who's basically, there's a single man and he has this part-timer, I think she is, who comes over and cleans his house and all, and they fall in love. And it's, the trailer looks really good. But I don't think it's available on any online, it's legally being streamed, let's put it that way.
We don't do illegal torrents, Rohan. So if you know where it is, do let us know. I would love to watch it, because Tilotama is, well, I won't call her a friend, but I will also call her friend, because when her first film and my first film were the same film, which was Monsoon Wedding, and she's a wonderful, wonderful actor, and I'd love to see what she's doing now, 25 years later. So, not 25, sorry, 20 years later.
So, there's another film she's in, Abhinandan, which you and I will review, which is coming out on the 5th, which is Chintu Ka Birthday, which, remember, it got stalled during the Me Too, like all those, whatever, the complaints that were coming in. It's the film which Tanmay and all AIB produced.
Right, so right, right. It's
being released on Z5. I think on Z5, and the trailer looked really nice. It has Vinay Patrak and her.
So now I have to subscribe to Z5 also.
99 rupees per month. I still have a few more days, so I will be able to watch it. Then I won't renew my subscription.
Yes, so fine. Then this one is from the other wonderful subscriber, Kimaya. Kimaya says, hi Team News Laundry, hope you are well and safe. I want to suggest a few things I've seen recently that I really liked and would be great if you guys could review. Mrs. America in Hotstar, set in the 1970s, tells the story of women's liberation movement, stars Kate Blanchett,
Blanchett
is in the lead, she's excellent. Douglas by Hannah Gatsby. Gatsby's first special, Nanette, was a trendsetter in comedy. Her second one, Douglas, is equally cool. Big fan of NL. Keep doing what you're doing. Best, Kimaya. Thank you, Kimaya. Thank you for subscribing. People, be like Rohan and Kimaya and subscribe to News Laundry, because we also need money to survive. And it is because we are not run on ads, we can say whatever the fuck we want without any fear or favor. In fact, in today's newspaper, Rajshri, speaking of ads, in all the English newspapers today, there is a...
That beautiful ad on how much we care about the migrant workers.
But I don't know whether you read it. It is not how much we care. It is Prime Minister Modi addressing the migrant labor and, farmers, because as we know, all migrant workers, migrant labor and farmers read English newspapers in English.
No. And while they're walking home, they are saying, let's stop, let's read Times of India once.
It's not even like they are saying that we are letting the urban English speakers know what we are doing for them. The ad is addressing them. This is what you can do. This is what you can do. Because obviously, all of them are reading English dailies.
Yeah.
So this is a way of the government giving money to newspapers for ads that serve no purpose, which is why they pull their punches and cannot say what they want. Whereas we don't really give a rat's ass. Because we guys have people like Kimaya and Rohan. So we will read the two non-subscribers' emails later. But hopefully by the end of this podcast, they will also become subscribers. I'm hoping they will.
Yeah, of course they will.
Tell us about Space Force.
The president is creating a new branch
in the United States military.
Space Force, which Mark will run.
I don't...
It has always been my dream to start something from the ground up.
but space is hard.
May I suggest that that become the new Space Force motto?
No, first I want to know, and I want you to answer honestly, because nowadays you don't answer honestly when I ask you this question.
Yes.
It's a question about this podcast, not about anything else. Did you watch all the episodes?
That I didn't watch. I say I don't binge watch. I watched two episodes. I will.
God, it's such a lie.
I'm very transparent about that. I have said that on this also. In fact, even when I interviewed that Gupchup, Lukchup, Chup, Chumbak, Chukpuk, Veerdas is, what was it?
Chapak.
Abhi, nahi yaar, Veerdas ka that series.
Oh, that. Now I've forgotten. Hasmuk.
Hasmuk.
Hasmuk,
I said it was very nice, three episodes, and fourth episode it went down, but I had already reviewed it. And you told me fourth episode go up. So, and I have said, I can't binge watch. I can't. I watched one or two episodes.
Okay, shall I slap you? Did you or did you not see on that episode where you had not watched anything you liked? When I said you have watched the ads, right, Abhinandan? You said, yeah. And then when I reviewed it, you said, okay, I didn't even watch the ads.
So once I lied, yeah, big deal. Yeah, I owned up also. Yeah. I'm like George Washington. I owned up.
So Space Force, I watched all the episodes because everyone knows that I'm very dedicated. And once I commit to something, I follow through on my commitments. So now, getting back to what I was talking about, Space Force is Steve Carell's new show, which has been written also by the same chap, produced by the same chap who worked on The Office with him.
Yeah.
Greg Daniels. So it has the same, and Greg Daniels has also worked on SNL. He's worked on a whole range of comedy, very good comedy shows actually. So the reason Space Force was released, I realized on Sunday, I'm assuming, it was released the same day as the SpaceX rocket left Earth.
Yes, and took basically that was, what's his name, Elon Musk's company, yeah. The first privately run jet program that took some NASA astronauts up to, I think, the International Space Station or something.
Yeah, to the International Space Station. So Steve Carell this is a takeoff on something that I was going to call him Dr. Trump. Donald Trump said in 2018, I think, he said that they are going to set up this space, like a different, like there's the army, the navy, and there's going to be a space force, basically.
Yeah, the Air Force, and then there'll be a space force. Basically, those of you who are my age, they would remember the whole Ronald Reagan Star Wars program. So this guy wanted to revive the Star Wars program. He calls it Space Force. It was an airheaded idea then. It's an airheaded idea now, but yeah.
But it was set up. So they have set up a space thing, but no one knows what happens in it. So Don has set this up. Now the thing is that in this, so yeah, in December 2019, Space Force was established as an independent identity. So it has been set up, but no one knows what happens over there. That's a different matter. Like most things in the Trump administration, no one knows what happens over there. So these are half-hour episodes, which is what's nice about it, I feel, because otherwise it would be a bit much to take. And Steve Carell is made in charge of Space Force, the space program. And they keep referring to who it's supposed to be, Trump, but they keep saying Putin, and has said that put boots on the moon. And they say, but because it's Putin, maybe he said boobs on the moon. We aren't really clear on this. But how will they get a team of Americans to land on the moon? And the entire process that they go through. And John Malkovich plays his chief scientist. And it's really funny. After a long time, I've seen John Malkovich in a like lighthearted role.
Yeah, in fact, when I read John Malkovich, John Malkovich has started evoking the same reaction out of me like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
I think they've both gone mad and they just do the same shit with this, you know, Fox intensity, which is very unconvincing. Huh. I was pleasantly surprised. And Steve Carell is, of course, fantastic. It's not ha-ha rolling on the ground funny, but it has some brilliant moments. And it also has Lisa Kudrow, my favorite friend. Who was your favorite friend, Rajshri?
I don't know. I didn't like the women that much, honestly. I felt they were all a little odd. Courtney Cox was better than the others. Maybe because she cooked and she kept everything so clean.
So you identified with her. So Monica was your favorite friend.
Oh, And she liked a really old man. So even I like, as of now, I can't like really old men because they'd be like really old. But when I was younger, I could like someone who was 20 years older. So she had that thing with Tom Selleck. So maybe that's what appealed to me.
In fact, one of the funniest films I've seen is a Tom Selleck film called Her Alibi. If you haven't seen it, you must watch it. Her Alibi is one of the funniest films I've seen. I became a Tom Selleck fan. But who's your favorite friend, Monica?
The women really, I didn't like that much. My favorite friend was Matthew Perry's character. Why am I forgetting his name?
Chandler
and Joey. I just love, because Joey is very, like, he's just very cute. And I couldn't bear Ross, although I know lots of men who are like Ross, who are cute, but like they are irritating.
Basically nerdy, like bongs.
Yeah, so Chandler, I told you this after I saw an interview of his, he had to go in for drug and alcohol rehab, right? And he said there's 3 years of Friends where he doesn't remember how he said, I'd go on set and I deliver my lines, but I have no memory of those 3 years at all. And I find that fascinating about people who are, you know, whose performances, musicians, actors and all, who are such hard alcohol and narcotics users that they are truly working, as in, what do you call it? You don't call them working alcoholics. They are
functioning
alcoholics. But he become really thin, right, in between?
I guess I wasn't watching his weight, but Lisa Kudrow's in Space Force and she looks so old. She's really aged quickly, man. So she plays Steve Carell's wife. He's a 5-star general who has been anointed the head of Space Force. There are lots of jokes that are obviously aimed at Trump, and those are truly clever. I think Steve Carell is a fantastic actor. His character is really interesting in this. He has that casual racism, sexism kind of thing going, which is very true for many people. Yet there is a very endearing and likable side to him.
His wife isn't, but we don't know why.
You just gave a spoiler because it comes as a surprise. So we'll beep that word out. I think it's funny. I can't binge watch it. It doesn't have that edge of the seat, urgency like Mindhunter had.
Yeah, you can't compare the two.
But I may not watch it back to back, but I will definitely watch it.
Yeah. So I watch it till the end. I think the things which are, so there are a few digs at Melania Trump also, and which you wouldn't have. It's towards the, like, the second half of the episodes, there's a dig or two about her. There's about him tweeting all the time. There's this entire fight with China that is there,
yes,
that they touch on. And also this entire thing of how the Navy, the Army, the Coast Guard, like no one really gets along with each other. But there's
the hierarchy in the forces, like the Air Force, the Navy, the, you know, Army, how they look at the Coast Guard and the Space Force. So I think a lot of these dynamics are really well done. The bizarreness of the plot as it unravels is fascinating. And it's funny, and yet it's kind of plausible. You can imagine that we live in such a bizarre world that this could actually very well happen. And the way they have weaved in contemporary politics and the political map and the geopolitics of the world into this show is pretty cool. But the character he plays has a hint of the Office character. It's very, very similar. Very similar.
Also, I felt the strain. So when you watch the entire thing, after that, you tell me, I felt the storyline with the daughter is a little forced, which towards the end becomes really forced. But it's very funny what it, like the situation on the moon, what it ends with, is really funny. But according to me, the best political comedy that has been on TV and which you can really binge watch because it was so funny and so politically incorrect was, I've said this before, Julia Louis-Dreyfus's this thing. I can't say it properly. VEEP, where she's the vice president of
Veep, right,
America. And she becomes the president at one point. And it was, I don't know, it's 8 seasons or so. But it is so smartly written. And it is so, so funny.
Hey, I just got a great idea.
So,
I think if any of you guys are listening to Awful and Awesome, you can make a film about the president to be impeached and sent to jail. So he gets removed as president, and it happens for the first time, and you can call it unprecedented. Do you get it?
No, they aren't going to take the suggestion because they want their film to be
okay, okay, as you were. Do you know what that means, as you were, in military parlance?
Yes.
What?
As in, just act, get to attention, basically.
No. Then attention is then you have to pay attention. As you were is like, okay, carry on.
Ulta, okay.
So yeah, I'll definitely watch Space Force. I would recommend it. Yeah, it's not haha rolling on the floor funny.
Yeah. So, and it doesn't, it's not like, you know, sometimes after the fourth, fifth episode, it just picks up speed. That doesn't happen in this, but it's definitely a nice watch, especially with all that is happening around us. It's a nice break from the madness of pandemics and cyclones and mad prime minister.
So that's Space Force for you. Now we'll talk about Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich. Before that, the two non-subscribers. If you are, by the way, if you are a subscriber and you've subscribed under a different email ID, I apologize. Alia says, I'm not a subscriber. I only started listening to your podcast recently and I will definitely subscribe after finishing college. Alia, yes, finish college, get a job, then subscribe. Until then, enjoy for free. And we have a program where people who want to sponsor the subscriptions of students pay. So we have, I think, almost like 40,000 rupees in that fund right now. So every day, a link goes out from our social media. If you're a student, Alia, click on that link, fill in your details, and you will get a free subscription. You just put yourself in that line of all the people who want, and you can access all our paywall content also. She wanted to recommend an 8-episode Netflix series called Caliphate, based mainly on ISIS. The story portrays everything as gray. The story focuses on three ladies, one who wants to get out of it, another who is helping her, and a student who is getting recruited. Oh, okay. I haven't watched this. Have you watched this, Rajshri?
No, but I've been told to watch it. It's like Fauda. I haven't watched Fauda either, which I will watch as well.
I did watch, I did listen to this Caliphate, the podcast series, which was phenomenal, which was done by Rukmani something for New York Times.
Well, that was different. Yeah, Rukmani.
So, okay, Alia, we'll add this to the list, and that's fine if you're not a subscriber, you're a student. This is the time for you to make sure that you go for all exhibitions, where even if it's boring as shit, you get cheese and some drink. If there's an art exhibition going as students, that's what you should do. And do put in your name for the sponsored subscription. Rohit says, hey, have you thought about creating a dedicated entertainment division in News Laundry? Awful and Awesome and Homp are one of the best non-political podcasts in India. I think, Rohit, you mean two of the best. You guys have a lot of experience and great taste. You could make budget TV shows and movies for OTT platforms or just expand your podcast. I think it'll be very successful. Regards, Rohit. Thanks, Rohit. Thank you for your interest and for writing to us. In fact, we have often discussed expanding our team to start making shows because we believe that we have the experience and expertise to make some pretty fine shows. But we don't have the money, bro. And right now, we are just about scrounging enough to keep our news reporters fed, paid, and able to go out to report. And if they need to travel to be able to afford autos or taxis or whatever it is, we would love to start getting into the bigger picture things, the bigger entertainment kind of space things. But I don't want to do that again with a sponsor because it could kind of mess up our independence. So when we have enough subscribers and we have enough people who are chipping in, I promise we will make a little digital series, which then you guys can get together and trash, saying, Rajshri aur Abhinandan bada gyan pelte the, chutiye inki series dekhiye, itni baddi aur unfunny hai. So Rajshri, you can do the Mahurat shot where you photo the nariyal. I'll write and direct it.
On your head, I'll do it.
You can photo it on my head. Tha!
Yeah.
Be the opening.
Okay, I promise if we ever make a series, Abhinandan and I will kill each other if we work that closely ever again. But if we manage to do that, then I promise that we will get Ajay Devgan to photo the nariyal. That will be part of the comedy part of the thing.
Yeah, assuming I'll hire you for in any capacity for a show I'll make, why would I do that?
Why? What makes you think I won't hire you?
Oh, hey, okay, Bengali confidence, bhalo bhalo, shalo malo, gol of jamun, rasagollo, jollibee, homi arti, bhali bhali.
Because I'm a woman, you think you're the one who will do the hiring? You're so sexist, Abhinandan.
And there is one more recommendation that has come on WhatsApp from Samir. Samir says, a Tamil film called Pomagal Vandal. Pomagal Vandal. It's been in the news. It was produced for the big screen but released on Amazon Prime. Okay. Sameer Pomagal, let me write that down. Pomagal Mandal. So fine. Let's try to get that. So fine. We have quite a few things now. Recommendations. It's now 13 films long. Excellent. So Rajshri Sen, those are the emails. Now tell us what you thought of Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich.
The disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein is dead.
Did he kill himself? Was he killed?
There was something happening here that was bigger than just Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay, so I have, because I'm a little fascinated by people who screw over the criminal system and the legal system, and especially these kind of people who seem to just do the worst crimes, commit the worst crimes, but get away with it, like Jeffrey Epstein. I had followed his wonderful career very closely. And this is based on a book, Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich, is based on a book that was written by James Patterson. And it's been, and then John Connolly and Tim Malloy have also written it, co-written the show. It's a four-part mini-series, and it's about Jeffrey Epstein, who was a billionaire. No one knows how he really made his billions. It's never been made particularly clear or discovered. And he had a whole host of very powerful men and women as friends. And he also used to, was a sexual predator in the sense that he had a partner, Ghislaine Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell is an heiress, and a British heiress. She's part of the Maxwell Empire. And she had to leave England when her father killed himself after being caught in a massive corporate scandal.
And that was never quite proved that he killed himself. His body was found floating. Speculation was that he fell off his yacht. And after he died...
Under serious circumstances.
I'd go with the theory that it was an accident. I didn't even know who he was actually. When I watched this show, I did some reading up about him. Judging by all that I read about him and the kind of person he was, I would still think it was an accident. I would not think it's suicide. He's not the kind of guy who'd kill himself. He'd go down fighting.
I don't know. But anyway, she left England and she came to America. And Ghislaine Maxwell was Jeffrey Epstein's partner. For whether she was a romantic partner or not, no one really knows. But she played a very strong role in, a large role in procuring these women for him. And these women, Vanity Fair had, I think the show, the interesting part is not so much the details on Epstein, because it's the same details that we've basically read across many, many news reports. But how Vanity Fair was doing a story on this, how the journalist interviewed the first two girls, two sisters, who had said that he had behaved with them inappropriately, and how Vanity Fair dropped that part of the story at the last moment, and how basically people in very high places have always helped this man, had always helped this man get away. You watch that other show, right? Abhinandan, Untouchable.
Yes.
The difference, and you said that you felt that the survivors in that who were interviewed seemed to be conscious of the fact that there's a camera and they're speaking for the camera. And
not survivors. That was my comment on the first survivor, the one the film opens with.
Yeah, okay.
My observation was that he came across as a bit too, melodramatic. My observation is that it was just a string of testimonies. There was no story to it. It wasn't a documentary that goes anywhere. I didn't get to know that much more about whatever the guy's name was, Weinstein.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, I did not say that they were all...
Okay, so over here, I just felt that all the women pretty much who were interviewed, and there are quite a large number who are interviewed, seemed to be speaking very naturally. Like, I didn't feel that they were posturing or playing to the camera. But some of the stories are, but it's pretty much the same. So he had a pattern, clearly, that he'd also, he had a group of four or five women who would then go out and recruit other women, their friends, women, I shouldn't call them, they were 15, 14, 12, some of them. And ultimately, he does go to prison finally for a longer term. But then again, much like Maxwell, he also died under, they say that he committed suicide, but that's up for debate still. So
this has been made by actually Lisa Bryant, and she's also made other series. I don't know if you guys have seen The Island or Follow the Money. So she's got quite a bit of experience. I mean, there are certain production values of this documentary series which are phenomenal. I just think that the sound design is outstanding. I think the graphics, the opening sequence, the aesthetics of it are truly spectacular. So it gives it a very like well-produced, classy kind of look, like a high budget, you know, fancy studio kind of production vibe it gives.
Yeah.
Also because I did not know much about this character, Jeffrey Epstein, I found it fascinating. I was sucked into it. It really kept my interest. You can't help but marvel at his spectacular rise from like a working class Coney Island dude to, you know, having a villa in...
He had the largest townhouse in Manhattan, right?
Yeah. And where is
that
it?
Island.
What island is it? Tampa? What, no, sorry. The place, Miami, where all the action happened. Miami Island is called, right? And so it also has interviews by this writer who was his neighbor. What's his name, by the way? I didn't even know that guy is the most sold writer in the world. He's made like 700 million by just... the books he sold.
The island is Palm Beach. He was in Palm Beach.
Correct. Palm Beach. Palm Beach Island. And I forgot his name. So I found it fascinating. It really sucks you into the world. Because they have access to some footage of his testimonies, it makes for very interesting and compelling watch. You're right. All the survivors are extremely... they're like talking... from the heart, it seems.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem produced, their testimonies. I liked it. I think it sucks you in. And the one thing that it shows is, well, two things actually, and both are at odds with each other, that even in a place which is not considered like a third world, you know, administrative scenario, like, you know, Banana Republic in South America or any of the Asian countries which are underdeveloped and the justice system can be taken for a ride. Even a country like America, the justice system can be taken for a ride. But then how it does come back and finally fucks you here. And I don't understand this guy. That means every afternoon, basically, he wanted a massage at 2 o'clock by a 12, 14, 15, 16-year-old girl who then he...
like every day.
Like every day, bhai, aap kya kar rahe ho? Subah meri meeting hai, phir main lunch khaunga, phir main malish karaunga, phir... Yaar, I thought massage is like a weekly or a monthly thing. This is a daily thing for him.
He's not only massaging, na? He'd also molest.
Even when you are a billionaire, you have that much time that you can just... I don't know how
but
he does it.
Yeah. The billions, we don't know how the billions came, right? A lot of people are watching.
The founder of... they have insinuated that, again, I'm not good with names, but the guy who owns Victoria's Secret Limited, all these fancy brands, these clothes brands, he's some major billionaire. They kind of insinuate that he was in a sexual relation with him, which is why he got so much money out of that guy. But man, this guy looks like if John Travolta was a very evil looking man.
Yeah.
He has a John Travolta thing going for him.
No, and you know, I think that explanation now, because a lot of times people say, but then why did the girls go to him? The way the girls were chosen, the kind of girls who were almost like handpicked, that this is the kind of person you would pick who will need the money, or someone who is not liked, who's not popular, and who finally has this like really rich. And when he was younger, he must have been really, he's an attractive man.
Yeah, but even if he was attractive, you're 50 something, a 14, 15, 16-year-old girl comes from school into your bloody villa. And that also, like you said, he'd pick girls who had, you know, been abused or they had problems at home, who had lived on the street, who were homeless. A 16-year-old, a 15-year-old says, bloody hell, $200 I'm getting and maybe my life will get made. And that's a promise he'd give to a lot of these people. But fuck, what a perverted man, man. Like, different level. What the fuck, yeah.
So the author you were talking about is James Patterson, who also wrote a book about Epstein in 2016. So the thing which I felt was missing in this show was they don't follow through with some follow through should have been done with Ghislaine Maxwell. Because she's so clearly involved in this.
Where is she? By the way, I mean, don't give away spoilers, but by the end of the series, will I know where she is right now? Does it tell us anything?
She's in America. She's spotted in America.
She's there. She lives there without any...
Yeah. She roams around. She was having coffee outside in some not fancy, but a coffee shop, basically. So she's roaming around. So the fact that powerful people can still keep you out of prison is there because there's no reason why she should not be in. So it's, but it's worth watching to see. I always feel that you should know the kind of evil people are capable of.
Yeah, man. And for what? Yeah, I mean, you've got everything going for you. You know, which this brings me to, I'm going to get a little philosophical, Rajshri, please indulge me.
I've always indulged.
Don't tell lies. Again, you're spreading rumors on our show. This is, we may be a frivolous entertainment show, but we're still on a responsible news platform. Don't spread rumors like you are sensible.
Do indulge your rubbish. But your philosophical meanderings, let's hear.
I think for someone who has so much, but has the greed of wanting to do shit things to make you happy, there's a line in this film called Tombstone, which, by the way, I would recommend to anyone who hasn't watched it. It is the best Western ever. It's better than Fistful of Dollars. It's better than Good, Bad and Ugly.
Was it the Magnificent Seven? No, that wasn't
better than Magnificent Seven. It's called Tombstone. It's got Val Kilmer in the best performance he's given in his life as Doc Holliday, and Kurt Russell as Wyatt. And in that, they're talking about this guy called Johnny Ringo. Look, darling, Johnny Ringo. So Johnny Ringo was supposed to be the fastest draw, but Doc Holliday was obviously faster. He asks him that what makes these guys want to keep killing? He says, there's a deep hole in their heart and no amount of bloodshed or money or crime will ever fill that hole. Why would you be so greedy for more when you have everything? I mean, because you have a big hole in your heart, which you think will get filled by something or the other, but that actually comes from some childhood trauma or some other feeling of inadequacy from a time when you were a child. So I think in this case, the reason he kept picking up kids between 14, 15, 16, I think something happened in his life at that age. That's why he's stuck at that. That's the age where he wants to be cool and popular. That's why he wants girls of that age. Same thing because Michael Jackson had such a traumatic childhood, he wanted to remain a child and only be.
But he didn't have a bugger children also.
I'm not saying, you're going down the road. I'm not justifying what they do. I'm saying that. So I'm not saying they have to bugger children. I'm just saying, I think you can identify where this hole in the heart came from if you just see the behavior of that person as an adult.
So I feel, and as a student of psychology, I feel that people like Jeffrey Epstein, who are extremely rich right now and who can mix with, they never feel socially accepted. They always know that they are in this inner circle of this very, very influential lot of people. Because of their money, it is, but given a choice, these people would not hang out with this industrialist or Epstein and all.
They need the money to keep the glue.
Yeah, and that feeling of inadequacy is compensated for by various things. Some industrialists kill, some are corrupt, some will sexually dominate someone else to get that pleasure. So that feeling of, like, just for a second, you feel like you're totally in control. So it's a very deep, I think there's a social inadequacy which is there, which, you know, like, given a choice, like, as they walk out of the room, the very people who they've been hosting must be saying, oof, God, at least we don't have to talk to him anymore. Like, you know, we had to do this. So that is my Carl Jung theory on this.
two things, Rashi. Having visited a psychiatrist does make you a student of psychology. Just it's not the same thing.
Abhinandan, you were bottling that. Abhi wanted to see
the second, the second thing, Rashi, is the one thing that this film, I think this, if there ever is a film to be made, you know, Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
Lots of people are, you know, he's a Gatsby-like figure. He's a Gatsby-like figure. I've even heard Sohail Seth being, you know, referred to as a Gatsby-like figure. And I also have done, I mean, an upstart who came from nowhere and was with the, in the big league. I mean, that's basically the, but I think the most accurate Gatsby-like figure is this guy, man. I mean, the similarities were just phenomenal. It's like Fitzgerald had written that novel keeping this guy in mind, except that he had made Gatsby a slightly more sympathetic character and this guy is a fucking evil person. But I mean, I would recommend you watch this show and read The Great Gatsby together. Although The Great Gatsby is a very thin book, but I think the enjoyment of both will be heightened if you do it together. Like cocaine and sex, I've heard.
Like, have you heard?
It's a joke. Chill out.
Is it a joke? We'll be doing an expose on this in the next few weeks anyway. But there's a show which I want to recommend to everyone. I had heard about this for the last, it's only been on since 2015, but the new season is up on Netflix. And it's called Schitt's Creek. Abhinandan, you must watch it. Mm. Don't, like, just watch. And it's one of those shows you can watch an episode now. And, like, you don't have to watch it back to back at all. It's Schitt's Creek, as in S-C-H-I-T-T apostrophe S. Schitt's Creek. It's about this family. It's a Canadian show. It's about this family called the Roses. They are billionaires. So there's a husband, wife, and their two kids who are in their 20s. And they find out the husband is like, he's a very respected corporate honcho. But they find out that their financial advisor has basically not been paying taxes and he runs away with their money. And then the IRS comes and seizes everything, right? So they are bankrupt. And they had bought this little town called Schitt's Creek as a joke gift for their son on his birthday because he said, I won this town. So they shift to Schitt's Creek, which is a real hellhole in Middle America. And it's about their life there, but it is very funny because it makes so much fun of, you know, the uber rich having to now live in like normal people. And it's right. Just very, very, it's a very good show. Okay. I highly recommend it.
Maybe I'll take your advice, Rajshri, and maybe I will not. But on that note, we would like to thank everybody. And once again, I would like to take this opportunity in the month of May, all the people who did respond to my email asking them to either get other people to become subscribers or up their subscription level. So many of you did and actually really contributed in closing the shortfall that we were facing. I cannot thank you enough. I'm extremely grateful. And I just wish the people who, when I had gone to make a presentation with my co-founders and we had come up with this idea of a website which will do news without ads, and those who said that Indians won't pay, yaar. Indians nahi denge. Kuch aur. You have big names associated with you. Kuch aur. Well, guys, you'd be shocked at the amount of people, Indians, who are willing to pay to keep news free.
Abhinandan, the amount of people, amount of established publications who today are saying that, you know, we are going behind a paywall because we should be funded by subscribers.
Yeah, they suddenly realize that they should be funded by subscribers just because suddenly there are no ads. The moment ads come back, these people will abandon their subscribers.
Yeah.
So do write in to us with your comments, critique and feedback to contact@newslearning.com. I repeat, contact@newslearning.com. Awful and Awesome, Hafta, and all our podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Savan, and whatever podcast platform you listen to podcasts on. If you could review us there with a favorable review or give us a high rating, it'll help others discover us. Those of you who can't afford to subscribe, well, you can at least give us reviews or a high rating. That will help others discover us and they may subscribe. Tell your friends and family. and those of your family members who are earning to subscribe and help us spread the word about this podcast, man.
Okay. And we'll be back next week with a lot of Indian content, because there are a few films which are going to be releasing online. And I'm sure Hema Malini will come up with yet another ad which we can review. We can always hope. But thank you, Mr. Sekri.
Thank you, Ms. Sen.
And it's a wrap.
All the News Laundry podcasts are available on Stitcher, iTunes, and any other podcast platform.
Please subscribe to News Laundry. Help us keep news independent. To catch all our podcasts on news, pop culture, current affairs, and sport, visit newslaundry.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.